Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, a fresh in the trenches dialogue about womanhood, motherhood, adulthood from two co-hosts who live in the same neighborhood. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are really glad that you joined us today.
I have a hot off the presses question for you, Caroline.
Oh, I'm titillated.
Do you care about award shows?
So much.
Yeah?
Oh my gosh, I love award shows.
Oh wait, you might have talked about, have you talked about the Oscars on here before?
Yeah, it's my favorite time to go on Twitter.
Right. That's what you said. Yeah. Well, last night was the Golden Globes, and I found out at like 8 o'clock p.m.
Oh, perfect. Good timing. Golden Globes is my favorite award show because I love that TV and movie stars are together. It's not just one or the other. However, I rarely actually watch the award show.
Oh, interesting. You just are on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter and I am looking on different websites for what people are wearing.
Yeah. Why aren't you watching it?
I don't have cable, mainly.
Oh,
mainly,
okay.
That's one reason. Secondly, now that I am 32, I basically have never seen anything that's up for anything. Of everyone nominated, I know who all of the celebrities are because I'm very into celebrity gossip.
Mm-hmm.
But of the actual things that they star in, I've seen maybe two ever.
Yeah, that's why I don't care. I do not really care for award shows. I like the fact, like, I care for the fact that people are getting more representation now. And these movements that are putting women at the helm in more films and more diverse movies and telling all kinds of stories. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't care. But I just like in my mind, like, I don't care about the award.
Basically, you inspire me to be a better person to care about more deep things because I don't care about any of that. All I want in that respect, because to me, they're like, you may disagree with this and that's okay. This could be a healthy conversation. I don't feel like award shows are necessarily the place for celebrities to get super political because award shows in and of themselves are not anything meaningful. So to me, it feels a little bit contrived to be putting on this event to congratulate themselves and then use it as a personal platform.
I totally get that. I would actually agree with that. I don't really think it's as much because I think that like, what was it, like 2 years ago at the Oscars, like I think Meryl Streep, I don't care about the Oscars. Oh, except 2 years ago, there was a speech.
Named all of the ones.
Didn't Meryl Streep give like a really political speech?
Yes, and she did. I tried to give her a pass because I will give Meryl a pass for anything, but I was still like, ugh.
I know. The thing is, I don't remember disagreeing with anything she said, but I'm like, but you understand that like you are preaching to the choir there.
Yes.
And like you're also not doing anything for like the whole line of like celebrities are out of touch.
Like, well, I felt that way last year. I guess it was at the Oscars with the Me Too movement and everyone wearing black for that.
Gotcha.
Yes, and it was also at the, okay, I don't care about award shows. I feel like I'm being tricked here. So I need a new co-host. You can email me at a
pod. Email. Drop me a DM. Hannah never checks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's me you're interacting with. God, we just broke the fourth wall. So anyway, whenever it was still during that award show season, it felt like everyone wanted to be the person with the quote that came out in press after.
Mm-hmm.
And it is genuine and sincere as it was. And I think everyone could agree with it outside of like Reese Witherspoon, who was one of the pioneers of starting the actual foundation behind Me Too and Time's Up. I kind of felt like it just all felt tired to me. Not that it shouldn't be talked about. It just didn't seem like that was the arena or everyone's motives were pure.
I think I would agree with that. I mean, what I mean when I say like I like the representation is I like seeing more of the, I really liked what What's-Her-Name said when she said, God, that's that one line. She was, it was like everyone was like Googling it afterwards. It was last year.
Everyone was Googling it afterwards because they didn't remember it from the night before.
Yeah.
Was it Frances McDormand?
Yes.
Hers was awesome.
Yeah. Inclusion writer. Isn't that what she said?
Maybe.
Don't act like you don't know.
I watched her speech and I loved it. And I love Frances McDormand, who wears no makeup and doesn't do her hair and just like is awesome.
I like people like that.
I do too.
I like that quite a bit. I like that encouragement. I thought that was a really like cool way for her to like drop a mic and get off the stage, because
yes,
she like said her piece and then I don't know. I thought that was powerful in that it really had everyone thinking. Like, and then after that, Michael B. Jordan was like, I'm going to do this. Like, people are like, oh, action steps. And I think that's maybe the key.
Yeah, no, I think that that's true. And I think that it reads when someone is sincere about it versus yes, somebody yeah, yeah. just trying to. It's like when celebrities get into some kind of, not even like Twitter feud, but they just want to insert themselves into a conversation that is
oh my goodness,
trendy.
Yes, Armie Hammer when, yes. what's his name, passed away. Why am I blanking on his name? I love him. Stan Lee.
Stan Lee, yes, that was exactly what I was thinking about.
Was
where it?
It
was like, yes, because I love Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just interesting that he was like, all right, here's my...
Wasn't that absurd? I was like, of all, like, I, up until this moment, I really liked you, Armie Hammer. I did not, yeah. like, that killed it for me.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think that he was wrong in what he said. I
right.
actually thought that his sentiment was right. It was just so ill-timed. And in case you don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We should.
yeah, that was a little bit oblique. Or obtuse, whatever.
Sure.
I'm terrible at math or geometry terms. What? But so I should never use
back
this.
To celebrities.
Yes, triangles. when Stan Lee passed away, just
R.I.P. We love him. He has done amazing yeah. things for this world.
He really has. Social media was just flooded with all of these celebrities and their selfies from mm-hmm. meeting Stan Lee.
Then, which I get.
I mean, it was within hours of him passing away. Mm-hmm. Armie Hammer chimed in with. Basically,
a quote no one asked for.
no, or Googled after. Basically saying, like, how about you memorialize him instead of using it as an opportunity to show off your selfies with him? Essentially, that's like
yeah.
paraphrased.
Yeah. Which I like what someone, I think a couple people responded and were like, but that's how they are remembering him. Like, mm-hmm. I see, like, technically you're right, but like, also, you don't get to say how other people are going to grieve. And these are also all people who worked with him. Like,
right.
it's not like that he was like responding to, and then people were sending him pictures like Mark Ruffalo posted a picture of him, like just Stan Lee. And someone
yes.
was like, are you okay with this? And he's like, I am okay with that. And I'm like, I don't care. What? Of course, I'm still reading it.
right. Are you the grief police?
Because right.
Like, that's not what you were hired to
do. It certainly does not matter. Like, they're just remembering someone who made a good difference. I deeply disrespected his like policing of that right after.
Well, arguably, though, for me, my interpretation of celebrity grief is always suspect. I police it myself. Like if some major celebrity event has gone down, like when Amanda Bynes lost it.
Right. That was tragic as well. Different level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it went from something that entertained me to follow to
right.
something that became just really horrifying.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
All of these celebrities that would like chime in when, you know, she got arrested or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, thoughts are with you, Amanda XX. Or when Demi Lovato overdosed, it
right.
was like this, the same kind of thing. And I'm like, are you just trying to get into the conversation by way of wanting to show up on a People article that summarizes all of these?
Yeah. For when it's going to be like on BuzzFeed saying celebrities are coming out in support of, and you want to be in
yes.
that.
Yeah. Or people that are like, Demi, call me.
Right.
And we'll get together. And it's like, well, just that it feels weird that you're putting that out.
That's
socially.
One of your trigger things is when people say, call me on social media. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Unless any of our listeners want me to call them and let me know. You can have me at Caroline Airy and I will call you. So back to celebrities.
Yeah. I did not. Anyway, I did not watch the Golden Globes, but I do like to see like if something out of this world happened, you know, like something interesting, I'll like click in and watch. But it's so many hours of my time.
It is. And, you know, this was a fairly quiet one. There was only really one news breaking story that has made the rounds in several different iterations on the celebrity websites that I look at. But other than that, it seemed pretty low key.
What was the story?
The story was Chrissy Metz, who plays Kate
yes.
on This Is Us, mm-hmm. supposedly, allegedly, was caught on an open mic saying about Allison Brie from Glow. She's such a BITCH, in case you have children in your car. That kind of went like wildfire. I mean, it was on the headline of People magazine as it was happening, really.
But did you watch the video?
I did not watch the video today.
I watched it because BuzzFeed put it up and I didn't get that at all.
Well, she and Allison Brie are both saying that is not what happened. Chrissy Metz says she didn't say anything. If she said anything,
it sounded like her.
She's such a babe. It did or did not sound like her.
It did not sound. No, it did not sound like her. It didn't sound like that word at all. It sounded like her mic went in and out. And
that's what she's saying. She's like, she's a babe. So if I said anything, it was that. We are obviously friends.
Yeah.
Allison Brie tweeted like immediately, these are just rumors. What is even happening here?
Yeah.
But it was just interesting. That's just been day-long media coverage.
Yeah, and that multiple. I didn't know that other news are, because I saw it on BuzzFeed. So it's interesting that People also put it up. Because
yeah, Us Weekly did. People.
Like when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, they're reaching. This doesn't sound like anything. I can't. And I scrolled down to read the comments. Good usage of my time. And most people were like, oh, there's that. Like, what are you people even listening to? This isn't that at all. So that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah. It was weird. But clearly that just shows that really nothing much happened if that was really the only thing that I saw all day.
Yeah. I liked, I read a little bit about Sandra Oh's opening speech, and I love Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh, so that was probably amazing. But anyway, we are talking about entertainment today, so.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're thoroughly entertained all of these minutes in, so we're going to talk about other minutes. Things that entertain us and our families.
Yeah. We have some. Some of us, no names involved, are quite picky with entertainment.
Yeah, weird. Huh. Some of us are not at all.
Wide some of open. Us have laid back children and some of us don't.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, stay tuned to find out which is which. You will literally never guess. All right, we're back, and we have been kind of excited to talk about entertainment for a little while just because it can be such a hot button issue with people, especially moms. I feel like I have this conversation a whole lot, and just people in general, because everyone's time is valuable. Everyone has different ways they like to spend their time. So my question for you is, what are you looking for in entertainment? Let's focus on movies and TV. Like, do
for
you
myself?
For yourself, not for your children, for you. What do you want to think, laugh, be challenged, scared, or entertained?
Okay, I never want to be scared.
Right.
I never want to be challenged.
Okay.
And I rarely want to think. So
escapism.
Yes, that is 100%, 97% of what I go for. Then the day kind of depends on if I want something sweet that mm-hmm. might be semi-emotional, like This Is Us or Parenthood. Something that's like feel good, like Gilmore Girls, mm-hmm. or something that is just funny that I don't care. Like, we are watching The Office like the fourth time through right now because we both get to the point, David and I do, where it's like we don't really want to invest in something new.
Mm-hmm.
We know we love it. If we're just going to eat on the couch and then record this or whatever,
right?
We'll just watch a few episodes of that.
The interesting thing is, if I like you said, like This Is Us and I think you listed like one other drama.
Parenthood.
Yeah. Those to me are like heavy. Like if I'm looking for escapism, that would not be it for me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I want something
like drama and heavy drama that's based in current reality. It would have to be like Outlander for me.
Interesting. Well, I also do like, I don't like being scared, but I do like thriller-ish or crime-ish stuff. Like Blacklist, we loved for a while. We kind of fell
off
of it for
a
little bit.
Yeah.
Loved it. So that one did make me think. I love White Collar. It's old, but
that's funny you say that. Passan's obsessed with that.
Comparing it to something like Blacklist that was clearly much bigger budget.
Mm-hmm.
White Collar, if I watch it, and I've seen it all the way through, it's over now. You can catch it on Netflix.
It's off now.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's off over. Of Netflix. You have to watch on Hulu. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fine.
With commercials. Oh, I hate it.
But it's like such obvious green screens and the explosions
so
are
true.
So insane. It's so CGI'd. Where if you watch something, you know, with a heavier budget, it's like, ugh. But I have to be really careful that entertainment does not then follow me. So we were very into Homeland.
Okay.
We loved it.
I've heard such good things about Homeland.
It's great. I would still recommend it. However, we got to a point in it. I mean, it's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having pretty bad postpartum anxiety after Anna Blair, and I would watch it and just have these awful nightmares. And
really?
We talked about it in our sleep episode. I have very vivid,
yeah, you bizarre do. Yeah. Dreams. You guys should go back and listen to that if you haven't, because I was pretty surprised.
keep you guessing. But Homeland's heaviness, the darkness of it would just follow me. And even still, like, there are a couple scenes that led to dreams that still stay with me.
That's interesting.
That I have to, like, tell myself to not think about it even now, which is a couple years later.
Yeah. I get that about having to be careful. Like, that, I will say, I like that about White Collar because it's not super heavy. So, like, we can watch that right in bed, and it's not like,
yeah, it's light.
Like, you couldn't watch Homeland, I assume, in bed.
Yeah, no. I mean, you could, but your bedroom is a lot different than mine. If
no.
That's what you...
No, oh, that sounded, in that I would have nightmares.
Wow. Yep.
In that it's too heavy, okay, to go to,
well,
sleep to.
Yep. Sorry. I don't know why I took it there. I didn't mean to. That wasn't my purpose of that statement.
But we're keeping it in.
Okay. Cut that or don't. Okay. I will say this about, like, Homeland. I would always need, like, a palate cleanser after.
Yes.
So we would, like, have to watch an episode of The Office.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was just too much.
That's how I feel about Sherlock, the show.
Oh yeah.
That's a very good show, but I can't, like, that's, like, bordering on scary for me. So I have to put on Friends or The Office.
I am a heavy user of reality shows.
Heavy as user. Well,
as well as 2020 and Dateline, which are two of my very favorite shows.
So I used to watch Law & Order SVU all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. But as soon as Milan was born, I don't think I've watched an episode since.
Yeah, just two.
Yeah. You know, I've talked before about finding that line between not burying your head in the sand and, like, being aware of what's going on, but also, like, not having it too much where it's following you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes I don't find that line really well. Because I'm like, well, I don't really want to, like, read too much true crime, like, when it involves kids especially.
Oh, yeah.
Or not read, watch.
Yeah, my true crime filter got a lot tighter after I had kids, because things, yeah, that I would, like, even, like, articles on people, if you follow Busy Phillips on Instagram, she will, yeah, call out people for having, as she says, dead babies all over their website, because that tends to be the headlines that they post. So
people?
She will post.
Magazine?
Mm-hmm. On their website, like, Busy Phillips will tag people and their editor-in-chief and be like, you cannot post this all over your website. But that's what gets clicks. But for me as a mom, I just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, there are things like that one true crime podcast, for instance, Dear John. Loved that.
That one was
great.
That
one was so good. So I think it's basically, like, stuff that has to do with kids that I'm more like, I can't. And then stuff that's, like, too violent. Like, I just don't like a whole lot of violence either.
Well, you know that I'm always trying to make myself closer to people who are famous.
Yes.
and my friend Amy used to work with Deborah, who is featured on Dirty John.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. She used to work with her. And that's,
wow,
actually how I found out about the podcast, because she was saying, this is somebody that I used to work with.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Now, Dirty John is a show on Bravo.
And I do want to watch that show.
I have watched one episode so far.
Is it good? Was it a good episode?
Yeah, I think, no, having listened to the podcast, I don't think that the show is as gripping.
Okay.
Because they're making it, I mean, you kind of know how it ends.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's less suspenseful. The podcast was really suspenseful. They did that so well. It's amazing what they can do with podcasts.
Yes, agreed. But you and Pisan, I know, watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, we have become, I've become different. For the whole time we've been married, he has never been able to just sit down and, like, binge a show. He's always had, like, to him, that's wasted time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, he's like, there's just so many other things I could be doing in this time. And he has all these, like, personal projects he wants to work on. And I'm at a place in my life now where I understand that way more. I used to be like, let's just sit down and watch. It was like White Collar. I think it was White Collar. We started Arrow before Milan was born. There's, like, all these shows that we have, like, a connection to because of, like, the time in our lives when we started watching them. But now that I'm at, like, a point in my life too where I have my own personal goals, I'm much more strict about, like, I will not just, like, sit down and watch something when I could be doing something else. So I, like, get that a lot more now.
Yeah, I do think that the standard for me right now with shows, I only sit down and watch a show on the nights that David is off. We usually will eat dinner and then watch a show while we eat ice cream. That's just kind of what we do.
That's adorable.
We're very cute. But on the nights that he's working, I will never just sit and just watch TV.
Right.
So basically the things that I choose are either like something that I have seen 1,000 times, something that I don't have to think about. Like Christmas was great because I could turn on a Hallmark movie.
Any Hallmark
at
movie.
At any point. Yeah. And I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It did not
you knew
require
what had
my
happened.
Attention.
That's exactly what Passan says. He says he does not, he like refuses to watch new things because he doesn't want to like put it, give it his attention.
We're kind of in that right now because I just need to be working with something on or picking up or cooking or whatever because I do feel guilty, especially if I know David is still at work. I feel guilty being like, well, time to put my feet up and invest in a show. I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, but I know for a fact you also like don't have the time to do that because you work like every night, right?
Yes, that is true.
It's not like you're finding things to.
Well, the other bad thing is when we find something that we both really like, we won't watch it unless the other person is there.
Right, yeah.
And so then it's like, ugh, I don't want to love something too much. So then I have to wait for a sex night off.
Yeah, exactly. We're also right now doing a Marvel marathon every weekend leading up to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. So are you doing one movie per weekend?
Yes. Although we've fallen behind with the holidays. So Passan was saying we have to bump it up to, and we're not doing it alone. It's us and like our family. So he's like, all right, everyone come over Saturdays and Sundays and we'll watch. Like, and I'm like, I don't know that people want to drive over to our house twice in a weekend. But we were trying to start from the beginning and watch every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe up until the Captain Marvel premiere, which I am dying for, as I've said before.
And post lots of pictures of yourselves and Stan Lee and pretend like you have those.
Exactly. Exactly. Army Hammer.
In contrast, I haven't watched a new movie in, 14 years.
Okay, so that was going to be my question at the beginning was, let's say, our favorite movie of the last year. And you have not, when was the last time you were at the movie theaters?
Like 2.5 years ago.
Really? What did you see?
I think that I saw, it was one of the Divergent movies.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was going to talk about the Divergent movies later and I wrote it down and I'm like, the one that takes place in Chicago.
Yeah, don't know.
I can't believe that was your last experience in movie theaters. All right. Well, we're going to see Captain Marvel. Write it down.
You know, I think the last one that movie that I watched, film, was Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Like
2 months ago.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. Yeah, that's pretty much maybe the last one. Like, before that, it was like Hidden Figures, which is an excellent movie.
Yeah.
But we just watched it like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Well, it's good films. Good films. They're getting in there. They're getting in there.
Well, I just saw that Netflix has It Takes Two on it.
They do?
Featuring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. And I'm thrilled about
Stop the recording because that's what I'm doing the rest of the night.
I saw it on Netflix when David was like, do you just want to watch The Office? And I saw it scroll through and I was like, no, I want to watch It Takes Two. And then I'm like, the recording tonight. I can't invest myself that way.
So this is our way of telling you we're going to go ahead and stop it at 30 minutes or however many minutes we're in and have a quick movie night at Caroline's.
Yeah, it'll be great. And then we'll follow that up with my favorite Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, Winning London. So we'll go back
to that. Winning London. Ooh, was that my favorite after It Takes Two?
Ugh, everyone else's is Holiday in the Sun, if you want to be basic, but...
Holiday in the Sun is not my favorite. Winning
mine
London,
either.
Oh, you know what? I'm mixing it up with the one where Amanda Bynes goes to Paris. No, London.
Oh, She's the Man?
No, that is like the best movie ever. No, there's one where she goes to London after Colin Firth.
That's not the soccer one. No, though.
No, that's She's the Man. And again, it is amazing.
Sorry, Amanda Bynes. I don't know your filmography.
Yeah. I want to think of it before you get there. I want to think of it before you get there.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll try that sword drill.
London Calling is a song in it.
Ah!
So disappointing.
Well, I knew it had to be the inverse of the boy one.
Yeah. Yes.
She's the Man.
She's the Man.
What a Girl Wants.
I know the whole soundtrack to that movie because I was so into it in high school. Amanda Bynes' downfall was such an upsetting.
We need to. Okay. We're going to go on Twitter and launch a campaign to remind Amanda Bynes who she is. Just like...
Well, she had a comeback-ish.
She's working. She announced a comeback.
She announced a comeback. It was an interesting article. I think people had a lot of thoughts about it.
Know thyself.
She's no Lindsay Lohan, so...
Oh, my gosh. Lindsay Lohan. Talk about entertainment.
Yeah. Ugh. She's nuts. I was reading about her trying to, like, help this immigrant family in Croatia. Or I don't know that it was Croatia, but it was, like, the... She was trying to help them, and then they were like, no, crazy lady, we don't know who you are, please stop. She was trying to, like, give their children a ride, and they said no, and then she, she was like yelling at them and saying, this is why, like, no one wants immigrants or something absurd. It was awful. And I'm like, oh,
I'd let her drive my kids.
Yeah.
I feel like those are just ungrateful parents. I'd let her drive mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the video clip with her accent?
Yes. Where she has, like, suddenly, like, a British accent.
Yeah, but it's also, it's like,
but it's not.
It's even weirder. It's like maybe a Croatian British accent.
Oh, is there a new accent that I haven't seen? Maybe this has been a minute. She's such a character. Yeah, show notes.
Show notes for sure. You're going to want to read these this yeah. week. Actually, let me just make a plug. If you do not ever read the show notes, Hannah spends a lot of time on them and they're fantastic. So do go back and read the show notes.
Thank you.
Okay, so stepping away from TV and movies, what other forms of entertainment do you invest in? We know reading.
Yes, reading for sure. I really like good music.
Okay. What type of music do you like?
I like, it's a very broad range, but one of the things that I decided I wasn't, like, one of the swords I was not going to fall on when I had kids was, like, I do not do, like, kiddie music. Like, the only kid music I do is the Frozen and the Moana soundtrack. And that's largely because I will listen to anything Lin-Manuel Miranda makes. But, which he did not make Frozen. But some stuff that, some, like, kid stuff. I recently discovered an album called Kids Trap, which I found hilarious. And then Milan got really attached to. I'll link to that one. It's so funny. I do not like just like the kiddie music and like Wheels on the Bus. I don't know what kids listen to. I'm not into it. Like, I can't do that to my sanity. So I just keep it to stuff like the kids love the Hamilton soundtrack and they're super into that. So we listen to that quite a bit. And the Black Panther soundtrack, there's a non-explicit version. And just like, I don't know, they're really into soundtrack. They're into the Spider-Man soundtrack of the Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah, that was on the other day.
Feeling like maybe soundtracks are what I like.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly we'll go with scores.
But I really do like to browse and see what my, like, recommendations are. I like that Apple Music does that. And, just pretty broad. What about you?
Definitely not music, as we have talked about in previous episodes. I actually sometimes feel bad that I expose my children to so little music. It's very little. It's embarrassingly bad. But in terms of entertainment, yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Part of my music problem is I don't listen to the radio at all.
I don't either. I don't know that I know, like, current music.
Well, we know I don't know current music. So there's that. And I read a lot of blogs.
Okay.
I do daily read blogs. I kind of have, I'm not OCD by any stretch of the imagination. You can come to my house and take a look at that. But I do kind of have my routines in the morning when I set up for work. I open the exact same tabs in the exact same order that all feature. Like, I have some that I read in the morning in a certain order, and then some I read in the afternoon, like right after lunch, in the same order. But I read blogs every day.
Okay, that's interesting. I guess in ways like that, like things, I don't read blogs. Maybe like my version of that is like checking BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah. When I worked at a corporate job in which I did very little work, but got paid pretty well. I mean, really, I had like 20 minutes of real work a day. I read BuzzFeed all the time.
Oh,
any
yeah.
list that it came out,
yeah.
any quiz that came out, I was on it.
Yeah, I think I've talked before about how I look forward to their weekend compilation of hilarious tweets. However, I realize that is a little bit dicey given that they're stealing people's intellectual content, but I'm never on Twitter.
So it doesn't bother me.
I don't get to see these otherwise. Me. So I feel for all of you who are hysterical, please get your content to me somehow. Like, I need it. I need the laugh.
Yeah, don't stop. Well, turning tables a little bit, how about your kids? Do you feel like how you decide to be entertained is also the standard that you set for your children's entertainment?
Well, for them, we read the book called Brain Rules right when Milan was born. And it's a really good book about pregnancy and infant kids up to age 5. And they suggested in that book, or he suggested, I think it's just one man, based on a lot of studies, to not let kids watch TV until age 2. Mm-hmm. And backed it up with a lot of data. So we did that with Milan, and I've been very happy with the results of that. Like, we just took it out from the beginning as like an option. Like, it wasn't like we were doing TV with him and then we stopped doing it. We just like didn't do TV. And as a result of that, like I don't think of it as like an option usually. Like
that's smart. Yeah.
So and like they don't. Now it's a little different now that he's getting older. And like, I think that he like I don't know. And I don't want to say that as like I know everything and I am doing this better than anyone else. This has just been my experience. And I feel like because he didn't grow up like super used to it. It's not been like, it's not like the first thing he usually asks for up until lately. Sure. It's a little different because the holidays make everyone turn to the TV. With Maya, it was a little harder because when you have more than one, you just can't like do all the perfect things you right, do, which right. we covered a little bit in birth order last week. Like everything is different with different kids. I still like tried to keep to that as close as possible. And it worked out pretty well, but it was a bit of a relief when she turned two, because then I was like a little more lax with it. Mm-hmm. And I do think that I have made a bit of a mistake in that I think I sheltered specifically Milan a little too much with the content of the TV that he watched.
In what way?
Like, he is very afraid of things on TV.
Yes, like, I'm glad you said that.
You were like, if she doesn't bring it up.
If she doesn't, I don't know how. Hannah, how would you say that your children's fear level is?
Do you feel like they are well adjusted on a yes or no scale?
Do they like new things?
They do not like... I'm trying to think of an example of something that is completely not scary that they are scared of.
Oh, I have several.
I don't think you do. And I worry that because when he was like younger, I was trying too hard to be like, oh, well, I don't want that content to him to have that. That now he can't just like hang and watch a TV show with his friends without being like hiding. Doesn't he like hide even in your house, like behind chairs?
Yeah, and then like freaks out and says he wants to go home, and we're watching Ratatouille. Like, decidedly the least scary show.
It's not my fault you're putting on thrillers for the children.
Yeah, sorry. They loved The Mummy, though. It was very surprising. Yeah. I did have Maya and Milan over. We had pre-decided that we were going to have a movie night, and in my excitement to like, I try to, if we're going to do TV, which, I mean, we do some form of it daily, honestly, to at least put something around it to make it a little bit more fun. Like, this weekend, Jane Ellis was really sick, and so we stayed inside a lot in the mornings, and we had gotten this cardboard playhouse thing for Christmas from my sister-in-law, and I pulled that out for the girls to color with and play, and they spent all morning playing with it. So then at lunchtime, we hadn't turned the TV on all day. And at lunchtime, I was like, let's have a picnic in the playhouse and I'll turn on a show for you guys. You know, they were pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But so when Maya Milan came over for this movie night, I had gotten like gummy bears and popcorn and they were going to make movie tickets. And
yeah, it was a whole thing.
I told Hannah, I'm going to pick something new for them to watch, being something besides Frozen and Moana.
Or Naughty. They like Naughty.
Be fair. Yeah. Yeah, they also like Naughty Toy Detective. That's it. That's all. Those are our three choices.
Yeah.
And it tanked hard. But it wasn't just their fault, Hannah. Everything that I suggested to you beforehand got severely shot down. I was like, Hannah, here are all the things that I'm thinking that we could do. I'm like, Toy Story. And you're like, no. I can't even remember what all.
In fairness, Sid would terrify all of them.
Yeah, well, no. Sid would not terrify my very resilient children.
Sid wouldn't terrify Nora Beth, really? Sid terrifies me. Okay, so it's me.
That's weird, huh? I wonder how people parent their kids.
It has nothing to do with it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, like, literally everything that I threw out, Hannah had a reason it wasn't going to work.
And it's so funny because I'm, like, not picky at all about music. I'm so picky about entertainment, but it's because of like, I'm like, well, I do think I shelter them, but I'm like, I don't want him to be like baptized with fire and see Sid from Toy Story.
Well, it's not like I was giving him like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh my gosh. Don't even.
No, that is the scariest movie in the
world.
That's
the worst.
I'll probably have nightmares about it tonight.
Yeah, probably. But, be in the Temple of Doom, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was fine. I think I had said like, oh, the girls really like Winnie the Pooh's Heffalump movie. It's super cute.
Which I didn't say anything about that one.
Yeah, no, that one's fine. We had kind of agreed that that's what we would do for them. Then I thought like, oh, Ratatouille is fun.
Which I thought too would be a good idea.
Yes, because like, okay, now we'll do a thing where I'll cook dinner. I think I was doing like make your own pizzas or make your own noodle bowls or something. where like they can make their food mm-hmm. while they watch.
And like David's a chef, so there was that cool tie-in. Fun.
Two of the four kids were really into it. I will let you guess which two. Both of them have the same last name.
Could have been any two.
Really loved it.
Could have been any two.
Within 45 seconds, your children were rejecting it.
That is so hysterical. Hard. They're so extra.
So hard. They were both crying. They were both like, we want to go home. We hate this. And I'm like, guys, just like, we'll skip this part. Like, it's when Remy the mouse gets swept down the drain. They hated it.
Oh my.
And so like, we get to the part where they're in the restaurant and they were done. Ugh. And so we ended up watching Frozen. So
I don't know why you're trying to pressure mature media on my children.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm also not trying to shame you on this podcast. It is now just a joke because it's like whatever I put on for them, immediately Maya requests Elsa Anna and Milan's like, I don't know if we can watch this. And I'm like, okay.
Well. He's okay. Such a mama's boy. But I mean, I just, because some stuff is not like, it's all, there's so much kid programming that is not for like little kids. And there's a lot of stuff. And I've told everyone, like, I'm like, I own this. I am not like, I know I'm the difficult one. I know I am. Most of the stuff is like, I do like a lot of research on it and there's a reason. Like I like read up. I really like Common Sense Media's reviews of movies. I think they're really good. I think you suggested Peter Pan, which I hate.
Oh, yeah. Well, that though, I'm really glad that you shut that down because in my mind, like I'm just thinking of it as this childhood movie that we loved.
Which I watched all the time as a child and I loved it too.
Yeah, I loved it. And I thought it's a very sweet fantasy story. Like, this should be great. I don't think Captain Hook is that scary. Your kids would disagree, but you know, I think it's
definitely
good.
I didn't even think about that.
The alligator or crocodile. But I did not think about the implications that it brings to people of color, mm-hmm. and Native Americans. And you know, it's horribly
and they're all like, they're so, I hate
racial.
The way that it is. Yeah, it is. And I hate the way the women are treated. Like they're all super disrespectful to women and they play all the women against each other. I hate that.
Yeah. So that was actually really enlightening to me.
You
and I will say,
are welcome.
Well, I give you a hard time, but I am also picky about what we watch. I'm probably less picky than you are, but the things that I watch out for are a little bit different. I mean, I think that you have these standards too, but
the things that I watch out for are important.
Yeah, right. But I do pay really close attention to the way they talk to each other or talk to adults.
Oh, okay. That's interesting because we weren't allowed to watch Rugrats for that reason growing up.
I loved Rugrats, but there were, yeah.
You were that kid.
Sassy. Yeah, I was definitely that kid. No, I'm just kidding. We were not allowed to watch a whole lot, but we were allowed to watch Rugrats. But there are some that I just really don't like the tone that they take with each other.
Like
now I'm blanking, but like there are some. Okay, so Norabeth is pretty into Barbie. And mm-hmm. so Netflix has some Barbie movies that are really cute. And I would recommend those to anybody. But they have the show Life in the Dream House.
Okay.
Which I will say, if you're an adult, it is very funny. It's like a parody of Barbie. It's very funny.
It sounds like a parody of Bachelor in Paradise or something.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. It's so I have to remember a lot of it is going over her head. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that I find funny. Like, you know, it's like watching a Disney movie as an adult and you're like,
oh my gosh, that's
funny.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had no idea. That's kind of what Life in the Dream House is like. But there are a few moments where I'm like, oh, they are like kind of sassy to each other.
Okay.
Or if some of them are too whiny, don't do that. Like, I think everyone on planet Earth can agree that Caillou is the worst show that's ever been invented because that is the whiniest kid. Everything is whining. So I used to watch that with kids I babysat for and knew like when I had kids that would not be allowed.
I've never ever put Caillou on because my friend was always telling me like who was a babysitter. Like she was like, I hate this show. Never. We will never like never put this show on.
Yeah. My kids don't know it exists.
Yeah.
And they will never know that it exists. But I do like. But I don't even like Word Party is a good show on Netflix. It's like fairly mm-hmm. educational. But the baby talk and whining in that, I just can't. I just don't want that in
yeah,
my kids'
Yeah, that's interesting.
Lives.
I can see that for sure. Because you don't need like more like encouragement for them to copy and be whiny. Like none
of
us are
friends,
looking for that.
No. Because they don't need coaching on that. They just innately
yes.
know.
Right.
One of my friend's husbands pointed out to us a few weeks ago, we were over for dinner. And said he feels that way about Daniel Tiger, which is interesting because I pretty much wholly approve of Daniel Tiger. They can watch that till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But he said that he feels like Daniel is whiny because he's always the one that they're coaching, you know, of like, oh, something didn't go his way. He's always whining. And I had never viewed Daniel Tiger that way, though I could see it when he said it. I still feel like ultimately they make a good resolution. And it's all fine.
I have feel like it's a net positive.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, too. If there's a show that I'm kind of on the fence about, like Life in the Dream House, I will kind of keep my eye on her for a little while after she's watched it or been exposed to it to see if I feel like she's saying things out of her norm.
Yeah. OK, here's an example. And maybe this is something you've seen, too. I used to let Milan watch the classic Land Before Time, like the first couple of them, all the time.
That's scary.
Yeah. Well, he liked it then. So I don't know. Talk to him. But
I won't watch it.
But like ratings are different. Like, I mean, ratings before, like something could be rated G in like the 90s that would not be rated G today. And I felt like they were being super aggressive towards each other. Cause like, you know, the character Sarah is like just rude to all of her friends.
She's savage.
So is that, that's kind of the thing that you're saying is like, that would be a no for you other than it's scary.
Yeah. I think that would be like if they're mean to each other or disrespectful. And the thing that like I would like to coach Netflix on a little bit, they need a better screening system for age appropriateness on their kids.
I completely agree with you.
Because Norbeth will find, you know, she'll watch it on my phone sometimes in the morning before we're awake or before the other girls are awake. And on the app on the phone, you can just scroll and pick anything on it, even adult shows.
On the kids section even?
Not every adult show, but some that I
there
would,
are some
I would
that
say.
I did know. I have noticed that there are some adult ones on there. I mean, and even stuff for older kids is not appropriate for a four-year-old.
Exactly. But she'll see, like, if it's a cartoon, she'll choose it. And then I'll realize what she's watching. There's one that she likes right now called Pinky Malinky. Pinky Malinky. Basically, it's like this cartoon sausage. I don't know. There's nothing like overtly offensive about it yet, but I'm really keeping tabs on it because it's clearly not meant for 4-year-olds. It's meant for much older kids, but whatever is entertaining her about it, I'm not seeing any negative behavior from it.
Right.
And I think anything about it is going so far over her head. Like the sausage is trying to go viral on YouTube or something. Like she doesn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any of that. Would I choose it for her as an entertainment? No. Do I feel like on my list of things to pick a battle about that's at the top right now, if I'm not seeing a negative reaction? No.
Yeah. 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 I can
but
see that for sure.
It's staying on my radar, but I wish that Netflix would filter that.
Yes.
And what I also wish they would do is you could choose what to remove from the recently watched page, because she might turn something on for a few minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And she might love it, but I'll say, no, that's not appropriate.
Right. But then every time she turns on, it's like right there. And she's like, why can't I? Yeah, we've had that come up as well.
And I hate that. I just really want that to go away. Like, I want to curate for
more power over curating is definitely what I would suggest to them, because I wish I could say like, I just want you to show only things that are rated Y7 or whatever that rating is.
Yeah.
Like the youngest kids rating. And then like the next one up, I would go like those two.
Yeah, Y and Y7.
Yeah. I wish you could do that.
But you know, like Anna Blair, it is interesting what you said about Maya being exposed to more at a younger age than Milan.
Yeah.
I have to be really careful about that with Anna Blair, because basically Norbeth is the one who chooses what they
exactly
watch.
Yes.
I do try to give, like, Anna Blair really loves Daniel Tiger. Norbeth.
So does Maya.
Really, Norbeth will really likes it when it's on, but I think that she's seen it for a while, so it's not the one that she goes to.
Right.
Like, she recently discovered Wild Kratts, so that's more exciting for her. And I'm fine with them watching
Wild
that.
Kratts
that's a great
is good,
one.
Yeah.
But if Anna Blair sees Elmo that she's very into or Daniel Tiger, Norbeth will say like, oh, I don't want to watch that. And I have to say like, well, it's Anna Blair's. It's
right.
Anna Blair's turn.
Yeah, yeah.
But the stuff that she's requesting or agreeing with Norbeth are not things that I would have necessarily exposed Norbeth to at age 2.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
I don't mind her watching
it. No, but I know exactly what you mean. I've felt that way too a couple times. Like I'm like, okay, Milan wasn't watching this at age 2, but like there's no going back.
Yeah. And you know, there are things that like there's no reason that she wouldn't. Like they're pretty into Paw Patrol right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had and didn't have Norbeth watching that at age 2. There's nothing. It's fine. It's a good
right.
show. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any like intrinsic reward from it, but
right.
like, okay. But now Anna Blair requests it, but she's been exposed to it. They
right.
also recently discovered Shimmer and Shine, and they're very into that,
yeah.
which just on principle, I did not want them to be.
It's too glittery.
It's so glittery, girly. Yeah, and I'm like real feminine, and I'm happy for them to be really girly, but something about it just rang too much. Something, yeah. But they, it's a very cute show, and they both really like it.
Yeah, so. I think I've seen that on like Nick Jr. or something when we're at my parents'.
Yeah, it is, and it's funny. Like Nickelodeon shows are the ones that are fairly new to us because we don't have cable. So unless they watched it at my mom's house, you know, Nickelodeon shows aren't. I don't think any of them are available on Netflix or Hulu. They're all via Apple iTunes Store.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have to buy episodes, and that's not happening.
Yeah, no. Well, I didn't think it was, but oh, guess no. what? But the thing is, too, then we're having to, by not having cable and purchasing shows or renting movies on iTunes, I'm also having to teach them about money and the mm-hmm. cost of things, because they'll see, you know, the little tiles for whatever the related content is. And they're like, no, this one. And
right.
Like,
no. Yeah, exactly.
We bought money.
It's an interesting thing to raise kids in a Netflix, like they think everything is available.
Yeah. Well, and commercials are real interesting because like if you're my mom's who has cable and they have a show on and then a commercial, they're like, what is this?
Right.
Because they just have straight content.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was interesting at Christmas because my kids had never really asked for toys for Christmas. I don't think they ever really knew. We kind of avoid the toy aisles if we go to Target, mm-hmm. you know, all these things. But I realized when they were watching commercials, Norbeth was like, I want that. I want that. I want that.
Oh, interesting.
And then Anna Blair started to, you know, repeat that.
Yeah.
Want that. Want that. Want that. But, you know, it's all these commercials that are geared towards advertising toys to kids.
It's like The Toy That Saved Christmas, my favorite Christmas movie ever from VeggieTales. Yes.
Yeah. So it was interesting, like, just what different media exposure there is in the pits and valleys of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very different than how we were raised, for sure. Here's a question that I am interested in your answer in, because I know one answer of this already. What can you not wait to watch with your kids?
Just completely blank.
Homeland.
Yeah. Yeah. Homeland, Blacklist. You know, I would really like for them to like cooking shows like MasterChef Junior.
I tried to get Milan and Maya into the Great British Baking Show.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Cause I love them and they're so cool on that show, but that was a no go.
Yeah, I know. I've tried some of those like real people things. We're just kind of dipping our toes into real people. So that is one of them. And then I really love like old movies like The Sound of Music, mm-hmm. Annie, some of those that were just really special to me. We recently watched Wizard of Oz, which, you know,
that was going to be the one that I knew you've already watched it, but I knew that was one you were excited to like watch with them.
Yeah, for sure. I actually gave up a nap to watch it with
them. Yeah, that means it's special.
So it's highly valuable. But Sound of Music is up there for sure for me. How about with you guys?
Harry Potter and Jurassic Park.
Oh, Harry Potter, definitely too.
I'm so excited for there to be like a cold, rainy weekend one time mm-hmm. and we just like marathon them. I mean, obviously I want to start with the books, which we kind of already read, but.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of too bad is I don't love that every book is being made into a movie because like we grew up, I have such fond memories of my mom reading us The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There wasn't a movie
my dad did that.
To watch. And then the BFG, which is a book that we loved and my mom read it to us and we just adored it. And now it's a movie and I know that it's not going to be as good or charming as the book.
I didn't even know it was a book, actually. I was like, fantastic. What is this?
The Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah.
And it is so good. That is, I have memories earlier than that, but my mom reading us the BFG are some of my favorite early memories.
Is that Roald Dahl?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah. My dad read us The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. For sure. I remember he took us to see the movie, too. And that was one of the special things is like when you read those things with like your parents, like Pasana is the one who introduced me to the Harry Potter books. When you read those things with your kids, it's like fun then to do the whole movie experience. But again, for us, like those movies came out in theaters like as we were growing up. So that'll be a little different. Like I can't imagine how annoyed Milan and Maya will be at like the CGI in Harry Potter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is really crazy to think about that it'll be like, what is this CRAP?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'm still so excited for it. And Milan's going to die. I would almost let Milan watch like a clip of Jurassic Park now. He would die.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you would.
A tame clip. Like
not okay, like before things go wrong.
Yeah. was so not even spoiler the very beginning.
Alert, everyone.
Like the scene where they fly over and all the dinosaurs are happy.
Oh yeah.
I love the Jurassic Park movies, so I don't know. And it's the same reason why I almost want to show him like a clip of Black Panther, but I'm like, he'll want to watch the whole thing and I can't be like, no.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's how I feel about Harry Potter. There are some really fun things that I think that they would really like now.
Mm-hmm. Some of it's a little heavy. Actually, the first movie scared me when I first saw it.
A lot of it scared me when I first saw it. I'd read all the books. I'm a voracious Harry Potter fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Trelawney really scared me.
Really?
In the theater. Because I have a fear of people talking in voices that aren't their own.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, you can unpack that however you want.
Yeah,
but
and we will in a future episode.
When she's reading the tea leaves to Harry
and then is speaking to him. Yeah, okay, that is creepy. When people suddenly do that thing. Yes, I know what you're talking about. I thought you meant like actors.
No, well, no, mostly not. But everyone that I was watching it with, which was like my whole family and a couple of friends, like stared at me because they knew like I was out of my skin, and that is so true.
The funny thing about Harry Potter is that Poisson has vivid memories of waiting in line at bookstores to get all the books.
Oh, wow. That's a cool memory.
Yeah, it is. And we watched like a couple of the last movies together. Let's see, what movie came out when we were together? The Half-Blood Prince, maybe? Mm-hmm. Was maybe the first one. And then I think the second, the seventh part one and two, we like waited in line for. And I think that was my last midnight film. And I decided I was getting too old for that.
Those movies to me are nearly flawless in their adaptation from the books.
Yeah, I think so too. In that there's so much more detail in the books, but like you simply cannot like put it all in.
Yeah, what they chose to include and exclude was very well done, I felt like.
I love them as supplements to the books. Like, because once I started reading the books, I was like dying. Like, just to think of everything that she put into those books and like from like the first page of book one that like follows all through to book seven is like incredible to me. She's
amazing. My Beyonce. I know people love Beyonce. She's fine to me. She's like lukewarm, but J.K. Rowling, that's my queen.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Which begs the question, if we haven't talked about it before, what house would you be in?
I don't know. I feel like I identify with like the Hufflepuffs and the Gryffindors.
I am 1000% a Hufflepuff. There is no question about it.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be mostly Hufflepuff, if I'm being honest with myself. I don't think I'd
no
be...
No one wants to admit it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be out in the corridors late at night, nor would I be stopping anyone who wanted to get out in the corridors late at night.
I would try. I'd be like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. And then I'd run back to my house.
Yeah, exactly. I would say nothing. But anyway, I am in a way that will surprise again no one, just so specific with my likes and dislikes. So, like, I like adventure things like Harry Potter, but I don't like journeys.
Okay.
I don't think I would like The Revenant or, like, anything, like,
Well, did anyone really like The Revenant?
I don't know. Apparently, it won, like, an Oscar. Didn't that finally win him the Oscar?
It did, but, like,
it was more like
celebrities voting for him.
Bless your little heart. Yeah. You finally need this. You needed it years ago.
Poor buddy.
But, like, you know that movie with the dogs? It's Chance and Sassy, the cat.
Homeward Bound.
Yes.
Homeward Bound.
Can't stand it. Like, hate journeys.
Okay. What about, like, National Treasure?
Well, yeah, but that's like a following the clues thing.
I love National Treasure.
To me. I did like National Treasure. I like almost everything YA except, and this is where I couldn't remember the name, Divergent, because I thought the last book was absurd and I thought they kind of went off the rails.
The last movie that we saw of it, we've seen them all, but I didn't read the books. And the last movie was like, which was also the last movie we saw in theaters, was disappointing.
I think I just saw the first movie. I don't even think I saw the next ones because I was very unhappy with the books. I appreciate as an author the fact that she like took risks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that as an author, she took risks, but I think it was the wrong risks.
Okay, fair.
And many people agree with me, Veronica. But anyway, so yeah, I don't like spy shows where it's like someone's undercover and someone might like find out about them the whole time. I don't like that at all.
Okay, for what reason?
That's too anxiety ridden for me. Like,
okay.
Like there's a show on, it was, I think, AMC called Turn. Have you seen?
Okay, it's like I know about it. I haven't seen it, but
it
I
looks
know
really good. I watched like one episode and I'm like, thumbs down. Like, Poussin was really into it, and I'm like, well, you can't like this because we can't watch it.
Okay, what other oddly specific characteristics do you have and what you like and don't like?
I love Star Wars, Star Trek. I love those.
Okay.
So I like sci-fi, but I like that kind of sci-fi, but I don't love, like, sci-fi network sci-fi. I've tried a couple of shows. They're okay.
Guess I'll just ignore that advertising email they just sent us.
Just kidding. I love all of you. I've
like
watched
Sliders. Is that a show on Sci-Fi Network? It used to be, maybe back in the day.
Maybe. I tried to get into Poussin, and I tried to get into Battlestar Galactica, and I tried to get into it. I just couldn't. Something about it. I don't know. I couldn't get into it as much. But what do you have any specific?
No, not like that, because most human beings don't have that.
I don't like the way you said that at all.
Oh, sorry. Did that come out differently than I was thinking it in my head?
Nope. I think it came out exactly right.
Sorry, my voice auto-corrected. It's weird, this new feature. iOS. Oh,
my voice said exactly how I feel, so that was an accident.
It's weird. I didn't mean for that to happen. I do. I like really trashy TV, but yet I still feel like I have my standards about it.
Give me an example of a hard no and something you do. I know you like Desperate Housewives.
You mean Real Housewives.
What'd I say?
Housewives, which I don't watch, but like I will not watch like Honey Boo Boo.
Oh yeah, okay.
But I love many of the Housewives franchises. But I still have those that I won't watch that feel like there are some that are like quality and then some are thirsty.
Okay. Categorize them.
Okay. So the best ones are OC.
Okay.
Beverly Hills and New York and it's not in that order. It goes New York is the best.
Okay.
OC, Beverly Hills.
I'm trying to think if I've seen some of those throughout the years.
I will not watch New Jersey, Atlanta, or Potomac.
Potomac is one that can't be real. Yeah. That's a parody.
Oh no, it's real. And I will watch Dallas, but
there's a Dallas one. How do we not have one?
I know. Thank you.
They have not responded to any of my letters,
any of my inquiries about it. But there are certain shows on Bravo that I won't watch because it's just ridiculous. Like Below Deck.
What's that? Oh, is that the one with these
like
people?
Dotting one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and here's my internal issue with it. Everyone on there is out to be a wannabe celebrity. That is just obviously what it is.
Yeah.
But I won't watch ones where it seems like they're trying too hard to be that.
Oh, yeah. You got to find the line. And, like, I feel like in your mind, the people on Desperate Real Housewives are doing their lives regularly. They're not
I'm watching their actual life.
Yeah.
But there are some that it's so staged and it's so obvious. Even like if casting changes on one of these that I love that has been around for a long time, and it just seems so obviously forced that they do not actually know each other.
Uh-huh.
Because like when OC started, it was actually five women who knew each other.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much drama. It was like I actually rewatched it from the beginning after I had one of my kids. And it was just interesting how much it's changed as reality TV has changed in its scripting and its production and all of that. Like I used to watch The Bachelor religiously and now it's just not even entertaining to me.
Yeah, I don't care for The Bachelor, except when Emily Maynard was on it because she's from here.
Oh, yeah. I loved that. Partially because like they're all nubile children and I don't enjoy that.
Yeah, it's
now.
Like weirder now. I'm like getting a little too old.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And it's just so obvious that people are going on there
to be on different. A TV show. Yeah. Do you like Jersey Shore? No, because you don't
I
like.
I will not watch that. That's trashy. I mean, really, I'm like, no, that's trash. Why would I ever watch that? And then I'm like, oh, can't wait for Southern Charm. I love Southern Charm.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of other questions.
I will watch the Kardashians.
The Kardashians, yeah. The Kardashians, I don't
but I won't
tune
watch
into
any of their
them,
spin-offs.
But I like... Oh, no. So you won't watch...
Yeah. Like, I won't watch Khloe and Courtney take the Hamptons. Yeah,
whichever of them move to a different city for 5 months.
Yeah, Kay and Kay take whatever, because it just seems so...
Contrived.
Scripted, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. I'm not interested in following their show anymore. I just will still, click on any article with them, because I die over the memes, like... We share the Kris Jenner one daily where she's like, you're doing great, you're sweetie.
Doing amazing, sweetie, while she's taking pictures of Kim.
Nude.
That is my life in a nutshell. Yeah. I feel like no meme is me. But the other thing that I really love, but am pretty picky about, not any level of yours. I'm glad that you're married to Pisan, because I can't imagine what your eHarmony profile would look like if you were looking for a partner. So thanks, Pisan, for taking Hannah. But I love documentaries. I will watch so many, but they also, like, they can't be too educational.
Okay, so I know you like the Katy Perry documentary.
I do love the Katy Perry documentary. I've watched it at least 4 times, probably more.
Did you watch the Taylor Swift documentary?
Not yet, but it's queued up. I just haven't watched it yet.
My favorite documentary is Hero Dreams of Sushi.
Oh, you know what? I've started that and not finished it.
Oh, you're not going to finish it. It's so interesting.
Well, okay. Calm down. Calm down. A new season of Real Housewives came on. Have you watched Psalm?
Oh, no, but I want to.
Okay, well, I will watch Hero Dreams of Sushi. You watch Psalm.
Okay.
And then we'll compare notes.
Because yes.
Psalm is amazing. I watched it twice. Once solo, and then once I made David watch it. Here are some that you should watch. Tabloid.
Oh, what's that?
On Netflix. These are all on Netflix. Tabloid is a documentary about this Southern woman who may or may not have kidnapped a Mormon missionary in England to turn him into a sex slave.
Oh, I'm sold.
But it's told by her.
Interesting.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
We have probably watched that one 3 times because it's just so great. The Imposter is excellent. It is also told by the person that it's about, which is great. It is about a boy who goes missing in Texas and they find him in France, but it's a kid of the complete different age and looks completely different, but everyone agrees that it's probably the missing boy.
What?
Even though it obviously isn't.
That's so interesting. Oh, I'm into
watched
it.
That a few times. The original Catfish documentary is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, I get behind all of those that have the hype, like Making a Murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one a lot.
Well, in the original seed of our podcast,
Wild Wild Country,
yeah.
Which our listener Natalie watched this week, and she has a whole theory about Sheila. So if you want to know about it and have watched Wild Wild Country, DM us and we'll tell you Natalie's theory, which I'm 100% behind.
Okay. No, I want to know Natalie's theory. So,
yep.
Should I check also, our DMs?
Yeah, you get to actually go in and I'll shoot you the password. and Amanda recently watched it and really loves it too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Lauren, we are getting everyone into Wild Wild Country. I should really finish it. I can't get past the font. It's so annoying.
It's fine.
Not a Civil War documentary.
It's fine, but it kind of is.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon split in two.
Yeah, that's the truth, though. We are way over our time.
Yeah, I just love this. But we have much, much more that we could talk about entertainment, and we're sure that you do too. So if you have a highly refined sensor for things that don't make sense that you would arbitrate over what you watch, a la Hannah, you can shoot her DMs and I will make sure she sees them. If you're open to just about anything, send them my way and I'll take a look.
Yeah, send it on to Caroline. She'll screenshot it and show me what you said.
You can also make fun of her and I won't send those to her. And if you have anything that our kids should be watching or consuming, let us know that too.
Well, it sounded like a good idea to talk about entertainment, but we are way over our usual time. And we do not have the bandwidth to just keep talking forever, so.
We do, but we won't, so.
Yeah.
We have too much to watch. I have to go watch about sushi, and you have to go watch about sommeliers.
Yes. Also, that one about the guy who pretended to be a wine connoisseur for, like, the longest time, and I got to figure out the name of that one, but I've been dying to watch. He conned a ton of people out of a ton of money.
What?
Yeah, I gotta watch. I gotta get that. I'll put the name in the show notes because I gotta watch that one. It's on my list. But anyway.
Okay. Also watch Versailles. It's also very good.
Oh, I've been waiting to watch that one.
Princess Queen of Versailles.
Queen of Versailles. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really great.
All right. Cool. Well, we've got a lot of homework, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. As always, we will be back next week to talk about something else.
Celebrities, music, science, space, TBD. Have a good week.
Bye.